Jill and I want to thank you all for the hotel you have for us last night. It was very comfortable, very nice. We did have a great fellowship with Pastor and Sister Hewitt, and also we had great food. It was at the new Chinese buffet place, and that place was packed out. I mean, it was packed, but anyway, it didn't sway us one little bit from getting good food and from having really, really good, really, really good fellowship. So we praise the Lord for you and letting us be here. And it is special to be able to talk to people that know firsthand, you know, where you are and what you're doing. And it's very, very special for us to be able to do that. Your pastor and his wife were a huge blessing to us yesterday. And we praise God. Praise God for that.
Paul and Luke were taking a trip when the south wind blew softly. They boarded the ship, destination already planned. They were guided by God's mighty hand. Soon after the ship set sail, they encountered a storm.
Bible, please, to John chapter 3. And John chapter 3. And we're going to start in verse 15, John 3:15. Actually, we'll start in verse 14. If you'll stand, we're going to read those verses together. And we'll read 14 through 16. And then we'll have another word of prayer. And then we'll be seated. The Bible says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you so much, Lord, again, for the privilege of letting us be here and what you've done already. just gathering together, assembling with your people does so much for us, and we praise you for it. Help me to preach the message you've given me. I pray you'd speak to me and through me, and pray you do everything you want to do with your people. Feed your lambs today, Father. If there's a lost soul here, I pray they come to know you as Savior. And Father, we praise you for letting us be in the house of God. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So we know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We know that verse. So it's an incredible verse about God's desire to see everyone come to know him as Savior. God's desire to see everyone receive everlasting life. And the context of that is about Moses lifting up a serpent in the wilderness. And so the whole John 3:16 comes from that. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And that's, of course, referring to the cross. And then we got John 3:16, for God so loved the world, etc. So what I want to do is go back into the book of Numbers, deals with Moses lifting up the serpent in the wilderness. So let's go back to the book of Numbers. And it's actually in Numbers chapter 21. And we'll start with verse 4. Let's go back to the book of Numbers chapter 21, verse 4. And we're going to look at the context of John 3:16. And so here's what the Bible says. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there's no bread, neither is there any water, and they're so loatheth this light bread. They're referring to the manna when they talk this light bread. I mean, they called it angel food when it first came, and now they loathe it. We hate this stuff. And so they're really complaining against God and against Moses. And so, you know, we'll complain occasionally, and I'm sure God's grieved by that, even our complaints, and certainly was by theirs. But we're prone to do that, and we have everlasting life, and our sins are forgiven, and we're going to live forever in heaven. And but yet we'll complain because we have to take an extra, you know, 3 minutes waiting on somebody in front of us to get their gasoline so we can get our gasoline. I mean, we're crazy that way. But that's who we are. I mean, we're people. And we have no excuse for acting like it. We should be Spirit-filled people that have long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and meekness and temperance. But oftentimes we don't. Well, they didn't. And they were sick of it, and they told about it. And God, therefore, the Lord sent in verse 6, as a result of those complaints, the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. So God did this. He sent these fiery serpents. We don't have those today. I don't guess. I've never seen a serpent of fire. But if there are some, I don't want to see them. But they did. God did that. He sent fiery serpents. And the whole purpose of these serpents was to bite people so that they would die. And it was a result of their complaints and complaining, murmuring against God and God's blessings. And so there you go. You know that. So that happened. And so many people died. The Bible says it there clearly that people died. Much, not just people, but much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned." That's a great start to getting right with God, isn't it? We have sinned. I love the way they say it. They didn't say, "If we sinned," did they? They said, "We have sin. You've received." Have you ever received an apology like that? If I hurt your feelings, I'm sorry. It's not an apology. That is not an apology. If I was being a jerk, I'm sorry. That's not an apology. I'm sorry I hurt your feelings. That's an apology. I'm sorry I was being a jerk. That's an apology. You got to own it. If you don't own it, you're not apologizing. And if you're not owning it, you're not confessing. You have to own it.
And that's really, brothers and sisters, that's why a lot of people make profession after profession, because they'll come to the altar and say, "If I'm lost." The way to get saved is I'm lost. So, but there are a lot of people in that category. They really don't know. They know they made a profession. They thought they were saved. They're starting to doubt. What you need to ask God for at that point, if that's where you are, is for assurance. And you need to be assured that you're lost or that you're saved. But as long as you're in limbo, you're not going to get what you need. God came to save sinners, not people who think they might be. See the difference? So, anyhow, but these guys, they didn't have that problem. They said, "We have sinned." And then they named it. Look what they did after that. They said, "For we have spoken against the Lord and against thee." And that's what the Bible says, if we confess our sins. You remember that verse? If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Confessing, that's what confessing is. It's owning it. I did it. And against thee, pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. So Moses did. You got to love Moses how he was. Meek man. He wasn't looking to get revenge. He wasn't looking at, "Well, you shouldn't have spoken against me. I might pray for you in a few days." No. It's like immediately. Moses wants him to get right. That's the thing about parents. Moses wasn't a parent. Well, he was, but from this perspective. But I'm talking about parents because there's a similarity. You don't want to hurt your kids. You just want your kids to do right. Discipline's not about hurting our kids. Discipline's about teaching them to do right. The same with God. Same with Moses. Same with the men of God. Same with people that are trying to lead people. You just want them to do right. You don't want them to get hurt. But anyway, they weren't doing right. So anyway, here we go. And so here's what the Lord said to Moses. "Make thee a fiery serpent, sit upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live." Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Do you understand what just happened? God said, "Here's what I need you to do. Make a serpent of brass. I'm gonna try to use something up here as a serpent. I think I'll use this as a serpent of brass." He said, "Make a serpent of brass, put it on a pole, and if anybody look at it, they'll live." So Moses did that. He made a serpent of brass. This will be my little, just use your imagination here. And he put that serpent on a pole, and he raised it up in the air. He said, anybody that's bitten, if you'll look, all you got to do is look. This is the serpent part up here. He said, "If you'll just look, you'll live. That's all you have to do." That's simple, isn't it?
Yeah.
And we use that for salvation. Because if you'll look to the Lord Jesus, understanding who you are and understanding who He is, He'll save you just like that. You got to know you're a sinner. You got to know He died for your sins according to the Scriptures, rose again the third day, and He's the only way. And if you'll look to Him, you'll live. So this is a serpent. So that's what they did. He held that pole up. If you look, you live. And anybody that looked, lived. Now, the Bible, everybody okay with that? Everybody got that? The Bible says a lot of people died. No doubt, many of the people died before the remedy. Would you not agree?
Right.
But do you think it's possible, as I look for my Bible, do you think it's possible, do you think it's conceivable that some people died after Moses lifted up the serpent? I mean, the Bible doesn't say, but is it conceivable? Sure it is. And probably, maybe some, in a couple of cases, they said, "You know what? What's happening up there? What'd you tell me? If I look, and Moses told me, I don't have anything to do with Moses. He passed my tent yesterday. He didn't even shake my hand. I'm not doing anything to do with Moses." So there's probably people like that. Maybe somebody's sitting in their tent dying. I mean, these folks are dying from serpent bites. Serpent bites are not an easy thing to die from. It really isn't. And they're dying. And somebody said, "Look, if you'll just look at that, if you look at that serpent on a pole, there's a brass serpent on a pole. If you just look at that, you'll live." And they'll say, "That's too easy. There's no way I would do that. It's got to be more difficult than that. It's got to be more to it than that." And another man said, "You know what? My doctor's coming and he's got the remedy. I got another way. I got my own way." I'm telling you, for a lot of different reasons. I can't name all the reasons, but there are reasons, and people have, and I would say that there are people who died afterwards that could have been saved, but they didn't. They died. How many people sit in churches just like this and they hear the gospel? They know they're sinners. And they know Jesus died for this. They know all this, but they sit there and they will not repent. They will not surrender to the Lord Jesus and call on Him for salvation. How many people do that? How many people go to hell having heard the gospel, but they just won't receive, they won't receive it? So if people would do that when it's eternity, surely there'd be reasons why they wouldn't look at this serpent when it's you know, life and death. For us, it's more than life and death. It's eternity. Eternity. But they wouldn't. I want to show you a verse. And this verse is in Deuteronomy. And it's in... And it's in not a, I was wrong. It's in Exodus 12:37. Let me show you Exodus 12:37. Exodus 12:37. I want to show you this. And it's what the Bible says. And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth about six... Here's what I want you to see. About... Exodus 12:37. About 600,000 on foot that were men. You hear what the Bible says? There's 600,000 men, grown men on foot. That's a lot of people. If there's 600,000 men, then probably there are going to be 600,000 women. So let's say there's 600,000 families, right? A man and woman, right? And men and women, your families have children, so there's children around there everywhere. If there's 600,000 men, 600,000 women, that'd be 600,000 families. Right now you got men and women, 600,000, 600,000. How many people you got so far? 1.2 million. Everybody okay with that? You good? And if each family has two children, there's 600,000 families. Each family has two children, which is kind of light. Jewish people have a lot of kids. They're kind of like independent Baptists. Amen? So there's 600,000 families. Every family has two kids. How many kids we got? 1.2 million. So you got 1.2 million adults, 1.2 million kids. So right now we're up to how many? 2.4 million. 2.4 million people. Well, everybody, here's where we first came out of. Pastor Hewitt's got a pretty decent sized family. Jill and I have a pretty decent sized family. When we first came out of Egypt, you know, things were moving fast. You know, Red Sea's opening, we're getting out of there. You know, all these, we just left all those plagues. You know, we're heading down the road and we're heading out of Egypt. And so we got a tent between us. And so we're all living in this same big old tent. But after two or three months, 4 months, 5 months, 6 months, Pastor Hewitt says, you know what? I like y'all, but I need my own tent. You know, we're going to have to do something here. We're going to get our own tent. So I'm just saying, after a few years, after just wandering around the wilderness for a long, there wasn't like everybody sharing a tent. I mean, by that time, we probably got about 600,000 tents. Because you got tents, you got mama, you got daddy, you got a bunch of youngins, you got two or three head of chickens, right? You got some chickens, you got stuff. Maybe a sheep, who knows? So what I'm trying to tell you is, there's 600,000 tents. That's a lot of tents. I mean, it's a minimum. It's a lot of tents, isn't it? Now think about this. You got this huge, vast area, 600,000 tents. Now, if you only have four tents, it'd be easy. Yeah. You just have a tent, two tents, and behind it two tents. That's four, right? If you only had nine tents, that'd be easy too, wouldn't it? You'd have three here, and three here, and three here. Right? Like, think of checkerboard. See that checkerboard in your brain? Three, three, three. Three by three. Nine. If you had 16 tenths, what would it look like? 16 tenths? You got four across, right? Everybody still good? Four back, right? Four, those of you who use spreadsheets, four rows, four columns. Am I good? Okay, good. I'm 25. At the risk of you having flashbacks back to math class, I want to get to 25. Okay, 25. What would it be? A 5 by 5. Everybody okay? 5 across, 5 back. Everybody. So you got 25 tenths of the most efficient way. Now we're on hills and rocks, but the most efficient ways is just big flat surface. 5 by 5. 25 tenths. 36 tenths. What would you have? Come on now, I know it's Sunday. I know it's time to eat. It's almost 12 o'clock. It's 6 by 6, right? 49, right? Good. 100. 100 what? 10 across, 10 back. All right. Each tent plot, I'd say minimum you're going to need about 15 square feet. When you say about 15, 15 by 15, that's not 15 square feet, but 15 by 15 is about minimum. Mom, dad, washing machine, you know, TV, you know what I'm saying. Whatnot. 15 by 15 is about the minimum. Okay. Now here, I'm going to show you this. So we got, how many tents do we have? Do you remember? 600,000 tents. Well, here's how you're going to have 600,000. You know how many tent, you know, your grid, our checkerboard, you know what it's going to have? 775 this way and 775 that way. You can do the math, but that's correct. That comes out to 600,625 tents. 775 this way, 775 that way. Each tent plot is 15 by 15. Here's what that means. Going this way is 11,625 feet. And going that way is 11,625 feet, okay? Now, I know 5,380 feet in a mile. So it turns out to be 2.1 miles. No, 2.2 miles, actually. I'm wrong. So I'm standing right here. I'm Moses. 2.2 miles. So I got 1.1 mile that way, 1.1 mile that way, and 2.2 miles that way. Everybody okay with that? Not a stretch. That's the best case scenario. I'm staring at the pole in my hand. On top of the pole is a brass serpent. Let's see. If you've been bitten by a snake, if you'll look at this brass serpent up on top of this pole, you'll live. So here's the way we'd say it where I grew up. I grew up in Bristol, Virginia. It's right on the Tennessee border. Hey, y'all! Up here on this here pole, there's a brass serpent. Serpent of brass. If you look up at that thing, you'll live. Hey, did you hear me? That's how we do it there. You look, and you live. Well, there's tents right here, right in front of me. And Mama said, he said if he looked, he'd live. And Mama goes out there and looks, and boom! She's instantaneously healed. She goes back in her tent. And maybe there's a couple others in there been bitten. Hey, it works!
Yeah.
Go out there!
Yes, sir. That's it.
And just look!
Come on.
And you'll live! Mm. And then the whole family is healed. And they're singing about it. I once was dead, but now I'm alive. And they even pull the banjos out. And the guitars. And then a couple tents down. What's that racket? Well, it looks like Moses got something up there. And they roll out and they look. And they hear old Moses saying, hey, check it out! We prayed. God gave us the remedy. God gave us the answer. If you'll just look, you'll live. And they get. And now they're partying with each other. But over here, this tent's quiet. All you hear in there is the death moans. And they don't know what's going on out here. You reckon somebody could just go shake their tent flap? Say, hey.
Yeah.
Can't somebody? Who would do that? Who would get healed and not tell their neighbor that there's a way? Now, we're on the front row. What about those guys a quarter mile back? Hey, looks like somebody's up there. I don't know what he's doing. Can't hear what he's saying. Maybe we can send somebody up there. Send somebody up, gets the message, brings it back. What about a person a mile back? They don't know what's going on. You know what they're doing? They're just sitting in their tent, dying. And if nobody tells them, do you think that's conceivable? Do you think it's conceivable that there are people a mile and a half back, they died because they didn't know how to... They didn't know how to get healed. They didn't know how. Think it's conceivable? Don't you think somebody up here in the front row would think, hey, can we send somebody back there? Get the word out? You know what? We were at a missions conference somewhere, and actually it was in Florida, and the pastor said, Wednesday night, hey, we've got the adults thing going out here. We want you and your wife to go back there and teach the children's class. And there's about 20 kids back there, maybe 15. And, kids are interested in snakes, and I'm trying to get their attention. As strong as a snake bite cap of the world, so I said, I'm going to share the snake thing. And then I'm thinking of a message to go along with that, with the serpent in the wilderness, and that's how this thing was born. And I stood in front of that little class of kids, and I said, why did people die? Why did people die when there was a remedy for everybody? And this little girl, she's probably 6 years old, blonde hair, blue eyes, she sat right back there, and she raised her hand, and she goes, they didn't know. She said they didn't know. That's a hard truth. But let me just tell you this. It is the truth. Look at Romans 10:13. I'm done. This is what we just learned here. What we just saw in reality. Well, you say, wouldn't God have a method? Wouldn't God have a way? Wouldn't have God told it? Wouldn't have God shared with Moses some way to get this good news out to the whole camp and not just keep it for those in... Just because you just happen to be in earshot? Maybe God had a way to get the message to everybody. Look at 10:13. For whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we're going to, any person that looks lived, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? They're not going to call unless they believe. And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? How should they hear without a preacher? Brothers and sisters, clear Bible truth. If they don't hear, they're not going to believe. And if they don't believe, they're not going to call. And if they don't call, they're not getting saved. And if they don't get saved, they're going to hell. People, this is hard. People who don't hear go to hell. People that don't hear go to hell. So I don't know what God told Moses as far as making sure the whole camp knew. But here's what God told us. He said, look, you're saved. Now go tell everybody. That's the way. He said, you're saved. Now go tell everybody. Now just go tell everybody. Now you can't go. You may not can go to Zimbabwe, and you probably can't go to Cambodia, and you probably can't go, to Michigan. But you can go to that tent beside of your house. And here's the good part. You can send somebody to Cambodia. Here's what God says. If you send somebody to Cambodia, that goes on your account. You didn't go to Cambodia, but it's just like you did. See, if the missionary in Cambodia, he didn't get a big gold star and you get a little silver star. You both get big gold stars if you just help him get there. That's why we do this. That's why missionaries give to missions. So I can get to Sri Lanka and get the gospel out there, but man, I want to get it to every row. I want to get it to every row. Not just my little corner of the planet. You want to see a missions? You want to see missions explode in the church? Send everybody to the mission field because missionaries give.
Right.
Because they understand this. If they don't, they're still. That's okay. They're still learning, but they're not ready to go yet. That's hard. I know it is. But man alive, I'm glad I know it because here's the way I want to be, and I'm closing with this statement right here. I want to be as serious about getting the gospel to the world. I want to be as serious about getting the gospel to the world as I wish I had been 1,000 years from now. 1,000 years from now. 1,000 years from now, when I look back, I want and thinking about what I did and didn't do as far as getting the gospel to the world, I want to think I did everything I was supposed to do. Here's what nobody has ever done, Pastor, ever, not in the history of the world. No person has ever in the history of the world gotten to heaven and said, you know what? No one's ever gotten to heaven and said this. I was too serious about getting the gospel to the world. I wish I'd spent a little less time and a little less money getting the gospel to the world. Man, I should have got that bigger four-wheeler. I wish I'd have spent that extra $2,000 that I gave to missions and got that bigger four-wheeler. I wish I'd have got that 200 horsepower instead of 150 horsepower. Man, I messed that up. Nobody's ever said that. Never, ever, never. No one's ever said that. I want to have that attitude. That thousand-year-ahead attitude. God, help me. God, help me. I can't take. If you knew me, you'd say, how can you preach that message? Because you let the littlest things get in your way, and I do. I let the littlest things get in my way. But that's how I want to be. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for this incredible church. Thank you for this truth. Help it to resonate in our hearts. Lord, not just be a reality, but be a reality that changes us. We know, God, that you did your part. Lord Jesus, you died for the sin of the world. There's not a sinner on the planet that can't be saved, and you did all of that. And we know the Holy Ghost is drawing and working, and you're brooding over the souls of men, and you're showing people that they need something. But the problem is, there's so many, they know they need something, but they don't know what they need because they've never, 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 ever, never heard the gospel. Help us, God, to do our part. In Jesus' name.